There are, unfortunately, many crises that we talk about in our society today. And in our From world, one of the biggest crises that we discuss on a pretty regular basis, at least in the circles I'm in, is the Shidduch crisis. What is the Shidduch crisis? There seem to be, however this may have happened, a disproportionate number of great girls to great guys. That unfortunately, as the years of dating and marriage go on, we are left with a disproportionately large number of amazing single women and no amazing single men to set them up with. This has been coined the Shidduch crisis and is the subject of many discussions, many initiatives, and many attempts at rectifying and bringing us out of this crisis. However, if you want to see a real Shidduch crisis, you have to look in our Parsha this week, Parsha Vayitzeh. What do I mean? If we look in Sefer Bereishis, Parak Chaf Tet, the first source on the source sheet is in the chat. Vayehav Yaakov et Rachel vayomer e'evdecha sheva shanim berachel betcha haktana. Yaakov comes to the land of his mother, the land where he was sent to look for a wife. He has run away from his brother Esav. So there is a two-part purpose. He has to flee for his life, but he is also out to find a wife. And he approaches the well and he meets Rachel, who is the niece of his mother. Rachel brings him back home. Immediately when Rachel and Yaakov meet at the well, they fall in love. Yaakov cries. This is love at first sight. And Yaakov goes home with Rachel to meet her father. And it says, Vayahav Yaakov at Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. Vayomer, Evdecha sheva shanim berachel bitcha haktana. Yaakov says to Laban, Rachel's father, he says, I am here. I love your daughter. I want to work for 7 years to earn the hand of Rachel, your small daughter, your younger daughter, in marriage. Vayomer Laban, and Laban says, Tov titio talach mi titio tala'isha cher. I guess it's better for me to give her to you than to give her to someone else. Wow, that is arousing approval. Nothing like a great first impression on the father-in-law. I guess you're better than anybody else. So tov titio talach mi titio tala'isha cher. Better for me to give her to you and then to give her to somebody else. Shva imadi, stay here with me. Ve'yavod Yaakov b'Rachel sheva shanim. Yaakov worked for Rachel for 7 years. Ve'yihiyu be'inav ki yamim achadim ba'ahavata oto. Yaakov loved Rachel so much that, as they say, time flies when you're having fun. He loved Rachel so much that these 7 years seemed like just one day. Ve'yomer Yaakov alavan, hava et ishti ki mal'u yamai ve'avoa eleha. I have fulfilled my requirement. I have worked for the 7 years. Please bring me my wife, so that we can be together. Ve'ya'asof Lavan al kol anshei hamakom ve'ya'as mishneh. Lavan put together a wedding. He brought together all the people of the town and he made a feast. Ve'yihi ba'erev, and it was in the evening. Ve'yikach et Leah bito. Lavan took Leah, his other daughter, ve'yaveh ota elav, and he brought her to Yaakov. Ve'yavo eleha, and he was with her. Vayitin Lavan la et Zilpa shivchato. Lavan gave to Leah Zilpa, his servant, Leah bito shivcha, and she became the shivcha of Leah. Vayihi baboker, and it was in the morning, vihinehi Leah. And Yaakov realized that this was Leah. Vayomera Lavan, and he said to Lavan, mazot asitali, what have you done to me? Halo b'Rachel avadati imach v'lama remitani, didn't I tell you I was working for Rachel? Why have you tricked me? Vayomer Lavan, and Lavan says, Lo ya'asa kein b'mikominu. We don't do this in our place. Latita tzi'ira lifnei habichira. We don't give the younger daughter before the older daughter. And from here we proceed, and we see that Yaakov makes an agreement with Lavan that he will work for another 7 years, and then he will be able to marry Rachel. So I think that this is really our first Shidduch crisis. When you think you're about to marry one daughter, and you end up married to another daughter, I would say that is definitely a crisis Shidduch. Not the same as our Shidduch crisis, but definitely a crisis in a Shidduch. But what I want to focus in on today is the end of the story, which is Lavan's explanation. He has done something pretty crazy. he has allowed someone to work for one daughter, to ask for one daughter's hand in marriage. And on the wedding night, he switches in his other daughter for the daughter that was requested. And when approached about this giant scheme that he had pulled off, all Lavan has to say is, of course, what else would you have expected? We don't give away our younger daughter before our older daughter. So what I want to do today is I want to zoom in today and try to understand from a few different perspectives, what is Lavan saying here? What does that tell us about the broader story? How could all of this have happened? And I think that if we pay close attention to each of the three approaches, we are going to come out with slightly different approaches of Lavan, slightly different understandings of Lavan. But I think that the three perspectives we are going to look at today are slightly more nuanced and are more similar to each other than we typically have in some of our other questions. But I think from these slightly different and more nuanced answers, we are going to come out with a more nuanced understanding of who Lavan was from three different perspectives. So for our first approach, I want to first look in the Beis Halevi Al HaTorah, Vayetzehei. What is Lavan saying when he says, Lo ya'asakim b'mekomenu latita tzi'ira lifnei habechira? We don't do this in our area, that you give the younger daughter before the older daughter. Kintaro to b'remez. He is hinting to him, Ke'omer efshar b'mekomchem haminhag kein lahakdim hatzi'ir lifnei habechor. It's possible that in your culture, clearly you think it's okay to marry off the younger son than the older son. Aval b'mekomenu lo ya'asakin. In our place, we don't do this. So though you may think it's okay, we do not do this. So Lavan is pointing out a cultural difference that may have led to this misunderstanding. Lavan is saying, essentially, I'm sorry for your misunderstanding, but what you asked was not possible. In our place, we do not do what you requested. The Sforno comments as well and says, lo ya'asakin b'mekomenu. We don't do this in our place. The people of my neighborhood did not allow me to carry out the deal that I had made with you. So Lavan said, originally when you requested, okay, we made a deal. However, when I'm putting together this mishta, this feast, the people of the town, society around me, did not allow me to give Rachel to you as a wife before Leah was married off. So in the first approach, the approach of the Beis Halevi is saying that Lavan himself made the conscious decision that although he had made a deal with Yaakov, he was not going to carry out this deal because it was unacceptable in his neighborhood. However, the Sforno says more explicitly that Lavan took the blame off of himself. Yes, Yaakov, we may have between the two of us made a deal, but I was not allowed by the people around me to carry it off. So in the Beis Halevi, the slight difference between the Beis Halevi and the Sforno, though they come out with the same conclusion, which is that Lavan was saying it's not allowed in their area, was that in the Beis Halevi, Lavan is at least taking a little bit of responsibility. In the Sforno, all responsibility is removed from Lavan. He says, I was not allowed to do what I promised that I would have done for you. The Midrash Lekach Tov illustrates this point beautifully. The Midrash says, Vayomer Lavan lo ya'asakim b'mekomenu. We do not do this in our place. Mikan she'in mishanim miminhag hamakom. The Midrash tells us that from here we learn that we do not sway, we do not swerve from the minhag hamakom. Whatever the minhag, whatever the custom is in the place in which you are in, you do not stray from that minhag. You must stick to the minhag hamakom. Halo tir'e Moshe Rabbeinu Allah al makom hamalachim v'lo achal. He says, where do we learn this elsewhere? That when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, this was the Makom HaMalachim, the Minhag HaMakom, quote unquote, up on Har Sinai is that you don't eat. Malachim don't eat. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And he says, HaMalachim Yordu LaMakom B'nei Adam. However, when we see that angels came down to the place of the people, so for example, in Parshas Vayira, when we see that Malachim appeared to Abraham, v'ner'u ke'ochlim. And there, the Malachim, they do eat, or they appear to eat, because that is the Minhag HaMakom there. So the Midrash Lekach Tov is saying that we have this klal, we have this general rule that we do not stray from Minhag HaMakom. But so then our first question, we have our initial question, but now the glaring question that comes up here is, how can Lavan have made this deal? If he knew that this was not Minhag HaMakom, he was not going to stray from Minhag HaMakom, the people of his place were never going to allow him to carry out this violation of Minhag HaMakom, how could he then have made this deal in the first place? That doesn't make sense. Yes, we know that Lavan is a trickster, but what would be his motivation to make this deal if he knew he was never going to carry it out? One can say it was just to get the free work. However, the Orach Chaim provides us with a deeper explanation. If you skip past the Malbim, we are going to the Orach Chaim. We will come back to the Malbim in 1 minute. The Orach Chaim on Bereishis Chavtet tells us, Vayomer Lavan lo ya'asekin. Lavan says, we do not do this. Tzarich lada'a ma'ama aneh b'lashono lo ya'asek. So we have to understand, what is Lavan trying to answer when he uses this language of lo ya'asekin b'mekominu?
Condition.
Thank you. You're very helpful. Wasn't this a condition for making the deal of I will work for Rachel? This was most definitely the condition on which they based their entire deal, that Yaakov was going to work for 7 years, but it was only on condition that he would receive Rachel as a wife. So how can you then pull out here at the very end of the process, oh, but wait, that's not Minhag HaMakom. How does this answer suffice? Therefore, it must be intending to say, Ki anshei hamakom michu biyado me'asu kidavar hazeh. So the Orach Chaim says it must be like the Sforno says, that Lavan went in with the intention to carry out this deal. However, the people of the society, the people in the surrounding neighborhood, did not allow Lavan to carry out this deal. Vihu amro lo ya'asekim b'mekomenu. And that's why Lavan said, we don't do this in our place. Kihi ta'anat rabim, because this was an objection of the masses. O nira, ki ta'anatohi ki lo haya b'pirush b'shat hatnai, Shahagam shalom tinase laya yitain lo rachel ubaze ain stira leminhag mehatsnai ki lo olam taktim laya linase bihimalot zayin shanim. So now the Orach Chaim is bringing us to our second approach. So here I want to pause. We are going to pause for a second and we are going to look back at the Malbim. So our first approach was that Lavan says that Minhag HaMakom is not to be allowed to give the younger one away for marriage before the older one has been married off. And he said the people of his surrounding area did not allow him to carry out the deal. The Malbim is going to give us a slightly different approach as to what Lavan was thinking as he entered into this deal. And then we will jump back to the Orach Chaim. So the Malbim presents us with our second approach. Vayomer Lavan. Hishiv lo. Lo talshov sha'asiti zo mipnei sha'ani rotzeh lashanot shelo latit lecha et Rachel. Lavan says to Yaakov, you shouldn't think that I wanted to trick you. You shouldn't think that I did all of this without the intention to give you Rachel. You also shouldn't think that, God forbid, I wanted to force you to marry Leah against your will, which we're all thinking like that's exactly what you wanted to do, Lavan. Clearly, when you sneak in Leah in the dark of night and give her to Yaakov at a point at which he can't recognize who it is and hope that he'll make it until the morning, and at that point he'll already be married to Leah. Of course that's what you wanted to do, Lavan. But the Malbim is telling us that Lavan is saying specifically the opposite. Yaakov, you shouldn't think this. You shouldn't think that I wanted to force you to marry Leah against your will. Rather, in the opposite way I did this. Rather, I know what your desire was, and that was to marry Rachel. And what I wanted to do, whatever I had to do to make it possible for you to fulfill your wish. I wanted you to be able to marry Rachel, but Minhag HaMakom would not allow me to do so. Ki lo ya'asekin b'mekomenu, because this is not what we do in our place. V'lo uchal latet lecha et Rachel ad sheleya tehiya le'ish. I am not able to give you Rachel in marriage until Leah has been married off as well. V'im etein ota le'ish acher b'schar ovodat sheva shenim. If the general rule is that someone must work for 7 years in order to acquire a wife, in order to provide a sufficient dowry for this woman's hand in marriage, then if I were to give Leah to somebody else at this point, the person who wanted to marry her would have to work for her for 7 years. Sitzarech lahamtin sheva shanim. You would have then had to wait 7 more years. Kila acherlo lo e'emin latitlo b'hakafa sheyisa laya v'achar kach ya'avod. Because I do not trust others enough that I would be able to give him Leah's hand in marriage and then have him work off his 7 years of debt. Lachin hivtachti ima ma shenatati lecha ad Leah. Therefore, I knew what I had to do was I had to give you Leah she'al yedekin tuchal lakachat tichach et Rachel v'kemo sheyifarish. So he says, and therefore, I had to give you Leah so that you could marry Rachel in the right time as well. What is the difference between the Malbim here and our first source? In our first approach was that Lavan made this deal knowing that he was not going to follow through. He knew this wasn't allowed, that he made a deal that he did not plan to uphold, or possibly he planned to uphold it, but the people in the surrounding neighborhood did not allow him to uphold it as he had planned. However, the Malbim is giving us a different approach, which is a much nicer, a much somewhat more honest Lavan. That the Malbim is telling us that Lavan had this situation in front of him. He knew the rule of the town, which was that the older one must marry first and the younger one must marry next. He entered into the deal 7 years ago. When Rachel was still Bitcha HaKetana, the Gemara explains that she was actually a Ketana, not just the younger daughter, but rather she was unable to marry at that point. She was too young to even be married off by her father at that point. She had not reached the state of physical maturity that is required for one to be able to marry off a daughter. So she was still a Ketana. This was a far off thing, right? The older daughter, the older sister is still single, but we're not even worried yet because they're both so young. So when Lavan entered into this deal, he knew that in 7 years, Yaakov was going to marry Rachel. He knew that Leah had to be married off first. So I guess the idea was that they were going to find someone to marry Leah. But up until this point, no one else had come forward to marry Leah. So now here was Lavan in this predicament, right before he knew that the 7 years time clock was ticking. He knew that he was quickly approaching the date at which Yaakov was going to want to marry Rachel. But he still had a single older daughter in front of him. So what he did not want to trick Yaakov. Rather, he said logically, if I give Leah to someone else at this point, you are going to have to wait 7 more years, Yaakov, because this guy is going to have to work for 7 years to marry Leah. And then at that point, you will be able to marry Rachel. So he says, you know what I'll do instead? And I might suggest, I don't know, I've never been a father-in-law, but I think good advice to Lavan may have been to communicate this, not just place Leah in front of Yaakov in the place of Rachel. But Lavan said, I am going to give him Leah. He will marry Leah. And then we see that they wait the days of Sheva Brachot. And at the end of Sheva Brachot, he can then marry Rachel as well. So, okay, he has to wait 7 more days rather than 7 more years. Yes, he ends up with an extra wife. It causes eternal conflict. It causes internal family strife. But no problem. All he has to do is wait 7 more days, and then he can marry Rachel. So Lavan was saying, I was not trying to trick you out of fulfilling my promise. Rather, this was the only way for me to actually fulfill my promise was you had to marry Leah first. To Lavan, this was seemingly understood. So now let's go back to the Or HaChaim. We are in the middle of the third paragraph. And it said, V'im lav yihyu yoshiv umitzapeh ad shetaktim habachirak. Oh, sorry. O nireh ki ta'anatohi ki lo haya bepirush b'shat hatnai. Shagam shalo tenaseh lelaya yitim lo rachal ubazeh in stira leminhag mehatnai. Ki lo'olam taktim laya lihinaseh umalot zayin shanim she'avod Yaakov. Im karma laya v'nasata teichahu miyad yikach rachal. So Lavan's intention was that if they got to this point where Leah had not yet been married off after these 7 years, then Yaakov would marry Leah, and immediately after he would be able to marry Rachel. V'im lav yihya yoshivu mitzapeh ad shetaktim habechira kemish betei aretz. And if this was not what was going to happen, then Yaakov was just going to have to wait longer until the bechira could be married off, until the older could be married off. There was no way that they were going to be able to get rid of this minhag. So Lavan is saying, when you said to me, Yaakov, bring me my wife, I thought you were talking about Leah. Because this is a well-known minhag. Husha'im latid hatzvira kodem, vimina stam aleya amarta, v'im bazera ma'ut. There's no Rama'ut, there's no trickery here. I thought you were asking for Leah. You knew clearly that you had to marry Leah so that you could marry Rachel. You should have known this was Leah without having to be told. And therefore you have no complaint against me. I didn't trick you. If you think that there is a difference between them, Lokin. Who kishkulim him itli velo eshal ba'ad Rachel ki im zayin shanim. To me, there's no difference. They're both my daughters, but I just thought, okay, you asked for Rachel for 7 years. V'im latzad chashkecha b'Rachel v'takpid al ha'akava, hinehi nitunah lecha techav u'miyad achar avor zayin yamim mishal shalaya. So Yaakov, this is really not a big deal. And that's why what it comes down to in Or HaChaim is this is why Lavan, who after we see him having done something appalling, he is so nonchalant. Of course you had to marry the older one before you married the younger one. Because to him, of course, Yaakov would have known this rule. And of course it would have been understood that this is what he meant. That of course Yaakov should have understood that he had to marry Rachel, he had to marry Leah before he could marry Rachel. That part and parcel of requesting Rachel as his wife, he knew he was going to get Leah as well. Now let's skip to the end of the Or HaChaim. V'yish lanu l'da'at ich lo chash Yaakov mukdam l'ta'anazo. How could it be that Yaakov never picked up on this earlier? She'in derech latit hatzi'ira, that it wasn't the minhag hamakum to give the younger one before the older one. Yish lomar she'chashav she'al Lavan legalot lo hadavar. Yaakov thought, if Lavan had any like secret clauses to include in this deal, it would have been on Yaakov, it would have been on Lavan to reveal them. He thought that if the father had any specific hakpadu and any specific criteria, he would have had to make them clear to Yaakov prior to the moment that when Yaakov had worked for the 7 years and asked for his wife. So he would have thought if he was going to have to marry both, the very least Lavan could have done is told him that he was going to marry Leah. And then it should have been in Yaakov's hands to choose whether he wanted to marry Leah and Rachel, or whether he wanted to wait until Leah was married off to somebody else. So he says, this is right. This is true to Lavan and his name, Lavan Ha'arami, Lavan the trickster, that even the Lavan seems to be saying, of course, I was just trying to stick to my word. How could I have given you Rachel without giving you Leah? I was just trying to fulfill my promise. It would have been on Lavan to make this clear to Yaakov. And since he did not make this clear to Yaakov, though he thinks possibly that he was being honest, we all know that this was all a method of trickery as well. So we have our first two approaches. The first approach was that Lavan made a deal he knew he wasn't going to keep. Of course he's not going to give away Rachel before he gives away Leah. You should have known this, Yaakov. This is Minhag HaMakom. Yes, I tricked you. Okay, I said you can marry Rachel. Really, you have to marry Leah first. Or possibly in there, even though Lavan is saying this is Minhag HaMakom, I of course couldn't keep this promise. Maybe it wasn't totally on him, but it was on the people of the surrounding area. They did not allow him to carry this out. Our second approach is that Lavan genuinely thought that he was not tricking Yaakov. He thought that the crisis would be averted before they ever approached this wedding date, that Leah would have been married off, and therefore it would have been no problem for Yaakov to marry Rachel. However, as the wedding date was quickly approaching and Leah was still single, Lavan thought to himself, the only way for me to fulfill my promise to Yaakov is by having him marry Leah, and then 7 days later he can marry Rachel. So the first approach, Lavan knew he was tricking Yaakov. The second approach, Lavan was just trying to stick to his promise. But the Or HaChaim explains to us that either way, this was pretty tricky. That either we say that Lavan made a promise, but the people around him didn't allow him, which is the only way that we can maybe take off the blame from Lavan. But definitely in the second approach, where Lavan thinks he is being Mr. Honest, he is far from it. This is still trickery. He could have made all of the details more clear to Yaakov. Yaakov was never aware of these conditions, and therefore it was trickery, even though Lavan thinks his hands are clean. My one question, though, here, before we enter into the third approach, is, what was Yaakov thinking? Like, I don't know. If you live somewhere for 7 years, you tend to see the different simchas that people make. Obviously, everything was different at that time. There was no like WhatsApp notifications, engagement parties, weddings, all the simchas. But I assume that someone else in the surrounding area had married off children during that time. And you would have assumed that perhaps Yaakov would have heard about this minhag hamakom that was so strong that supposedly the people of the surrounding area did not allow Lavan to do what he wanted with his own children. Wouldn't Yaakov have known about this minhag hamakom? Like, how could he not have known about it? How could he never have noticed? So the Chizkuni makes a very interesting point here. And the Chizkuni comments and says, Berachel bitcha haktana. When Yaakov makes this deal, he gives very, very specific requests. Berachel bitcha haktana. Rachel, your daughter, your younger daughter. There is no confusion here about who Yaakov is talking about. He says her name. He says that it's not some other Rachel. It's Rachel, your daughter. And it's not just any daughter. It's Rachel bitcha haktana, your young daughter, Rachel. Your younger daughter, Rachel. You have two daughters. I want to make sure that I am specifically getting Rachel. She'ina chashuva be'inecha kileya. I know that you don't think of her as great as Leah, ki ro'ehi, because you have given Rachel the job of being the ro'eh, of being the shepherdess. Ve'alkina marlihiyot ro'eh tachteha. So I will serve as the shepherd instead of her. So first Yaakov offers his services. I am going to work for 7 years. I'm going to take this burden off of Rachel that you have degraded her by making her a shepherdess. I'm first going to take this away from her. So that is why Yaakov specifically states, Berachel bitcha haktana. He says, you think of her as lowly. I want to volunteer for her job. However, the Chizkuni brings a davar acher. Berachel amar im aseha bechora yachzor esa ve'yavo elai. Ve'yomer lo daicha shenat halta bechorati ubira uberchati. Ela af ishti anasa. Yaakov was still thinking in terms of not only finding a wife, but in terms of the situation he had run away from. Yaakov, when he had fled from his home, was not only running to find a wife, but he was fleeing from his brother Esav, who was out to kill him. Esav was out to kill him because he had stolen his bechorah and his blessing that came along with it. So Yaakov thought to himself, when I come and I have found my wife, it is Rachel. I need to make it very clear that it is Rachel that I need to marry. Because even though there might be this minhag hamakom, I can definitely not run the risk that my brother Esav will follow me here and he will find that not only did I acquire his bechorah, not only did I take his bracha, but now I have married the older daughter as well. As the Midrashim tell us, Leah's eyes were soft because she would cry all day that she knew she was destined to marry Esav, that there was two sons in her aunt's family and her father had two daughters, that the older son was meant to marry the older daughter and the younger son to the younger daughter. She knew her sister was going to marry a tzaddik while she was going to be destined to marry the Rasha Esav. So everyone knew that Esav was supposed to marry Leah and Yaakov was meant to marry Rachel. So all Yaakov needed was minhag hamakom or no minhag hamakom. He could not run the risk of Lavan giving him Leah, Esav coming and finding him there and saying, you took my bechorah, you took my bracha, now you took my wife as well. He would be done for. That would be the end of Yaakov. So when Yaakov is laying out the specifications, he knows about this rule. He knows that typically the older one must be married before the younger one, which is why Yaakov is so specific. And he says, Berachel bitcha haktana. I need to marry your younger daughter and not your older daughter, because then I will be done. My brother will find me and he will kill me. He will have just one too many complaints against me. So even though Yaakov, yes, he was not ignorant. He was aware that there was this minhag. However, he knew that he had to protect himself and he had to make an agreement that included the criteria that he needed, the conditions that he needed in order to save himself. So Yaakov made this deal knowing that Lavan had this minhag hamakom weighing on him on the other side, but he had to make this deal in order to save himself. So that's our first two approaches. The first one is that Lavan said, this is not minhag hamakom. I'm not able to do this here. The people around me won't allow it. The second one is that Lavan specifically did what he needed to do in order to fulfill his agreement with Yaakov. The third approach, however, gives us a very, very different picture. that in some ways portrays Lovan in the worst possible light. The Malbim Ambaratius tells us, Ve'yomer Lovan, Lovan says, Achar shara'a Lovan, she'yakov mitaneh b'pirush, she'lo yitim lo rak et Rachel, v'she'ba'avor ze, ya'avdenu shanim rabot. Once Lavan realizes that Yaakov specifically wants to marry Rachel, and for that he's willing to work many years, he shiv ba'arama, he responded slyly, Inach tzarich la'avod klal tacha nesu'e biti. Don't worry, my nephew, you don't have to work at all. Come in, make yourself comfortable. You don't need to work for my daughter. Ki tov titi o talach, because it's better for me to give her to you than to give her to somebody else. Velo levad she'ini rotze avoda ba'avor zeh. It's not just me that doesn't want you to have to work for her. Behefach shvayim adi. Not just that you shouldn't have to work for me. Rather, just come, just settle with me. You'll live here. You'll be comfortable. Lo ta'avod klal, you shouldn't work at all. Rak tishiv ani achal kelcha ba'avor shetenaseh biti. Not only do you not have to work for me, I'll provide for you. I'll give to you. I'll care for you. I'll let you live in my home in order that you should be able to marry my daughter. Ubazeh hishmit alanyan mikol hatnaim. He removed from himself all possible conditions, all possible specific criteria. Shelefize ma sheYaakov shamar tzono lo haya b'torat avoda. So whatever Yaakov did for him was not a worker's contract. This was not a deal. Be'ad benotav rak nedava v'chesed. Rather, Yaakov was living in his house, so he volunteered. He watched the sheep. He cared for the home. He whatever he did was nedava v'chesed, was out of the goodness of Yaakov's heart. So then when Lavan responded and he said, we don't do this in our place. Didn't we have a condition? Didn't we have a deal here? That I would take the younger one earlier? Because there had never been an agreement between them at all. The Malbim is presenting Lavan in a very different light. That Lavan was by nature, deep down inside him, he was a trickster through and through. That he saw Yaakov from the very first moment and he said, I have to trick this guy. I know that this guy wants to marry my younger daughter. So I can't have any deal with him. I know that I'm going to need to marry him off to my older daughter first. So I don't want to have a deal at all. But rather than calling it all off and saying, no, you can't work for me, Lavan put on his fun uncle face and he said, how could I allow my nephew to work for me? Come, don't forget about work. Forget about having to pay for my daughter. Please just come in, make yourself at home. Shva imadi, come and live with me. Come, you'll live here like my son, you'll be here. And after 7 years, you'll be able to marry my daughter. So it was a beautiful relationship. Yaakov lived in the home. He helped out however he could. He volunteered whenever he could. And in return, at the end of 7 years, he expected to get Rachel. But Lavan knew he was never going to get Rachel. He knew that he was going to get Leah. But who could say anything against him? Who could complain? Because there was no deal. Lavan had made himself seem so kind and caring and giving, all for the sole purpose of being able to trick Yaakov. So in the first two, we can say that Lavan was not quite an honest guy. He was not straightforward. He didn't either in the first one, possibly he didn't know he wasn't going to be able to get around this rule. In the second one, we can say even maybe Lavan really was honest. He wanted to be able to do what Yaakov wanted, but he just had to work within certain parameters. However, in the third, we really see Lavan as the trickster that he was. That Lavan was willing to start from the beginning of 7 years. He never had any intention of honesty. He never wanted to give Yaakov what Yaakov really desired. And rather, he conducted the entire episode in a way that he knew he would be free of charge, that no one would be able to blame him for anything. He would be able to get away with whatever he wanted. So from the outset, he seems so much nicer here. He's not making Yaakov work. He's giving him a home. He's giving him shelter. He's giving him everything he needs. But the outcome is so much more sly and so much more deceptive. And as I said when we began with this year, these three approaches are much more nuanced than usual. They're not drastically different from one another. They are slight changes in language, slight differences in intention. But what they show us is how someone like Lavan, who in the end of the day is known as Lavan HaArami, Lavan the trickster, this trickery can come out in such subtle ways, depending on how you read each and every word that Lavan presents. So again, our three approaches: Lavan totally knew, but he was stopped by the people around him. The second one, Lavan was just trying to do his best within the parameters he had. And the third was that Lavan was totally dishonest from the first moment that he ever met Yaakov. Okay.